Good morning. My name is Wes, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Building Meaningful Collaboration Within Your Community conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I'll now turn the conference over to Melanie Lilliston. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I want to welcome everyone to today's conference call. My name is Melanie Lilliston, and I am the Director of Technical Assistance and Finance for the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. I have provided my contact information on the last slide there. If you have not received or did not receive the presentation material via email, either yesterday afternoon or today, you can download that from our website, which is www.nchv.org. On the right-hand side, you'll see the third icon graphic. It says NCHV Conference Calls. When you click on that, on the bottom of the page is a presentation. It's a PDF format of the PowerPoint that I'm going to be going over. As I mentioned, this call today is going to provide a general overview on the importance of collaboration within your community. It will also go over some basic steps to begin the process of establishing and creating either additional collaboration or expanding what you already may have. The presentation will last about 30 minutes, and then we will open it up for questions. As I mentioned, make sure, if you haven't, to go ahead and download the presentation and note any questions that you may have. Save those to the end, and we'll have plenty of time to address all of those. I would like to note that while the information is going to be fairly basic in regards to building collaborations, it can provide a good foundation to help those just starting, as well as those who have been looking to expand who you're working with. As many of you who have been in the field for some time know, the face of veterans is starting to change, as well as some of the needs of veterans are changing. And so it's important to always evaluate what types of services you're offering, who you are working with, and how best to serve particular veterans within your community. So today we're just going to go over some basics of collaboration, some focus areas for services that you might offer within your community, and then some resources to reach out to and really think and make sure that you're connecting with those groups within your local community. All right, so we're going to go ahead and start. I'm going to begin on slide 2 here. So it's important to remember what we're actually talking about when we say collaboration. Here I have defined the word for us. Collaboration is a verb, and it's defined as cooperate with an agency or an instrument which one is not immediately connected. It's important to remember that this involves action, a connection to those who you normally do not work with. So this is something that involves some sort of work, takes some efforts, it takes some time to get really, really sufficient at and to have and build these relationships with. True collaboration is an attitude manifested through action. Just as your reputation is hard to gain but easy to lose, true collaboration is all about your actions. As I mentioned, many of your organizations have been around for a long period of time or just starting out, and as you build and start working with these groups, how you work with them and establish the relationship is one of the most important things. Before we go too far, I want to make sure that we are aware of a few key concepts when we're talking about collaboration. These are important to keep in mind as you're establishing or at least starting to think about within your own organization as well as with other groups that you may be partnering with. Collaboration requires that all team members want to work together towards a common goal. That you have people who are willing and wanting to be a part of the group, and it's based on a sense that all participants are valued, meaning everyone that will be joining the group has a particular benefit or can contribute something to the larger group. It also embraces the unique perspectives of all team members, because everyone or many people are going to be around the table and each person brings something unique. You are going to and want to make sure that you're embracing all of those unique concepts. It's based on a strong sense of purpose, meaning you have a common goal, a common sense of commonality there, and it requires trust and a sense of shared responsibility. This is key. It's really important to keep in mind that within collaboration, it's not a competition. collaboration is really about shared trust and responsibility within groups in order to get to the common goal. Moving on to the next slide, as we start to think through a little bit more, the basic key concepts are based on several assumptions. And while a lot of these may be common sense to you, you want to make sure that everybody around the table knows and is prepared with the exact same assumptions and that there is no confusion there. Some of these assumptions are that organizations must value diverse membership and ideals, equal and respectful, once again, going back to those key concepts that everyone has an equal voice and that they must be able to be respected within the group. Each organization or group has expertise and knowledge, and that knowledge will be beneficial to the larger group. You want to make sure that that the expertise and knowledge that either the individual organization you're going to be partnering with is valuable to your overall purpose. Which brings us to the next one, that organizations must have a common purpose. In this instance, we're talking about serving veterans. Now, there are different populations within the veteran groups. However, the commonality here is going to be veterans. So if you're working with groups that may serve just mainstream or the general homeless population, you want to build upon that common link, which in this instance would be veterans. Members also need to be able to trust one another. It's not a competition. You're there, once again, coming back to that common purpose, serving veterans in the best capacity that your organization can. And trust allows organizations to share in decision-making and responsibility, meaning that if everyone around the table is respected and equally their opinions are equally valued, trust will grow and you'll be able to share in the decision-making and responsibility process. So keep in mind with the assumptions that all team members need to be aware of them and need to agree to these. Otherwise, you will lower your chances of success. And it's vital to know that these basic assumptions lay the groundwork for the principles and steps we'll discuss in just a few minutes. So as we move forward, it's important to know the key concepts both for your organizations, for other, as well as the basic assumptions that are involved with collaboration. So why do we do all of this work? As I mentioned, collaboration is an action. You will see on the next slide some benefits of collaboration. Increased community support at both, this can come in the form of volunteers, financial, in-kind, whatever it may be. Lowered cost for both your organization as well as others that you might be working with. Also, the ability to provide more resources and services. And in most instances, these are being provided to those who need them the most. The improved services. When you bring experts within your community or those who are ideally suited to serve these services, the services are going to be improved and therefore the outcomes are going to be better for your clientele. These lead to better informed, more creative, balanced, and enduring decisions. The more options that you have, the better off, and these can also lead to more positive outcomes. Improved outreach. It makes logical sense to know that the more people you have working on an issue can result in more people knowing, and in the end, more people being able to get and access your services. And one of the key things and one of the main reasons that a lot of organizations look at and reach out to collaborate is the access to multiple funding sources. Combining services can open and help new funding opportunities at both the federal, state, and local level. So being able to partner with and work with other organizations within your community often opens up the door to additional dollars in some instances. The key here is that no organization can be all things. Dollars and resources are tight, especially now with some of the budget cuts that are going on across the country. You have to be flexible and to take into action, and you must take action in this sense to work and partner with other organizations to get the best results and the best outcomes. In this instance, we're referring to increased and better services for veterans and for those who you serve within your community. So some key steps to successful collaboration. Now that we all kind of understand the basic and the importance, now we can move forward and actually really start thinking about what is the process and how do we get started. Excuse me. One of the most basic questions that you need to start with is, what are our needs? Defining needs is the first thing that you want to do in order to really establish and look at who you need to be collaborating with in your community. For those of you who have been working for some time on your programs, what are the gaps in services? What are the things that are not being provided right now? Or what are the things that we are providing that need to be expanded? So I don't want you to think that collaboration is a one-time thing. It very much needs to continue on a basis that allows you to bring in new people to the field and bring in new services and connections to them. So defining needs, what are the gaps in services? What is the biggest need now? How can your organization leverage resources to improve your program? Veterans are very popular. We're right around Veterans Day. Many organizations want and need to serve veterans. They have it within either their community plans or within their dollars that they're receiving from federal or state governments that they need to start targeting and serving veterans. So use that as a leverage for yourself. And then think about veteran-specific programs versus mainstream programs. Mainstream meaning they serve the whole entire general homeless population. Instead of just being veteran-specific. You want to make sure that you incorporate both types of programs and explore the best way to serve the population that you're working with. And also, what does your what resources do you bring to the table? What is your organization's unique skill or aspect that it may be? In some instances, the fact that you have been serving veterans for many years, you have the peace, you have the respect, and the reputation of those veterans, and that is your biggest leveraging piece. And others, it might be the fact that you have access to space within your building, to funding dollars, whatever it may be. Think through and think about how you can leverage those within your community. So once you define the needs within your community, you want to select partners that will help fill in these gaps. In order to do that, you want to define a collective mission or focus. Once you know what your needs are, you can define a collective mission and or focus. This will help you ensure that each group you approach has some interest in the veterans group and it can assist in filling the gaps in services. You want to make a benefit to both your organization as well as theirs. It should be a win-win. It shouldn't just be you're asking them for something but not giving something in return. It's definitely somewhere where you're going to take action and work together to get something done. As I mentioned, veterans are a hot topic right now. Use this to your advantage and bring in new partners, especially in mainstream areas. In a lot of places, either they're not aware of or just starting to explore the concept of the number of veterans within a program. Work through and help them understand that, yes, veterans do make up a large portion of the homeless population. These are the services that they're eligible for, and start working through and helping them with that. And most importantly, be open to organizations and groups you may have not worked with before. Diversity can bring new solutions, and you want to make sure you explore all of your options. And this sometimes can be a difficult thing if you've been around for a while, or even if you've just some of the other organizations that you're approaching have been around for a while. Make sure you revisit old connections that you may have worked with before. Things change. They become new leadership. They get new funds or different allocations, and that can change their interests. So just because they haven't wanted to work with you in the past doesn't mean that they won't want to in the future. Explore those options and really think through, can they work with us to fill in those gaps, and can they help us focus and meet that collective mission or goal? So once you've defined your needs and your main goal, keep in mind the next two slides are going to talk about some of the things that you need to do once you start moving forward. Know that you're going to be prepared to compromise. You will most likely not get everything you want or need straight off the bat. You're dealing with complex issues, and they require creative approaches. Once again, be open, attentive to all ideas. Be respectful. And know and trust that people are coming to the table to meet that common focus or that common goal. Most importantly, focus on what is best for the project, and that will result in improved services for veterans within your program. It's very hard once you get a large group of people around a table to not start taking things personally. However, the focus should be and will always remain to the types of services and what is best for the clients that you're serving. The common goal is the important here is to improve services or access instead of and you want to focus on that goal instead of what your differences are. When conflict arises, and it will, you want to make sure that you bring it back to your common goal, your common focus, and how you are going to fill in those gaps in services. The next slide talks about communication, which is very important, especially when you're starting to look through and really focusing on some very complex things. Make sure that everyone involved knows what is expected of them, that there are no surprises, that they know if there's meetings that they have to attend. A lot of organizations will sign either formal MOUs, memorandums of understanding, or letters of engagement with other groups that will be providing services, just so that there's an accountability there and everyone knows what is going to be involved with them. Also allow for each group or organization to have a say in the final decision-making process. This will help them make them feel more connected and more part of the group. It will also foster a vested interest in everyone working, which will ultimately lead to better outcomes and more services for those who are in most need. Most importantly, have points of contact and clearly defined decision makers from each group. Really know who has the final say, who can make the decisions, and who do you call when there is problems. So if the organization that you're working with is not meeting or not fulfilling their portion of the MOU, who do you call and who can help you with those types of issues? And most importantly, you need to establish both formal and informal communications. Do you take meetings? Do you have calls, emails? All of these things can be used to utilize collective collaboration within your community. Use what makes sense for your area. If you're spread apart in many different counties, it might make sense to have conference calls. However, if you're in a city and everyone's in a 10-block radius, obviously the benefit there would be able you could pull everybody together for a face-to-face meeting. So establishing the communication within your organization and within your collaborative group will allow you to be able to handle some of those things and really meet your common goal. So now that we have kind of gone through some basics of how to start and how to really think through collaboration, we wanted to be able to provide some focus areas for your services and some of the particular things that NCHV feels are important to take into consideration when you're exploring your gaps in services and some of the other things within your community. You will see on the next slide the four different focus areas that NCHV has stated are necessary to help and end veterans' homelessness. These are access to housing, economic and employment needs, health care, and prevention. By addressing these core areas, you can ensure that your organization is able to provide a holistic approach when serving veterans. You're going to be providing not just one of these, but a variety of these in order to serve the entire veteran and what their needs are. So the first one is access to housing. Some of them that are listed here are HUD VASH vouchers. These are HUD Veteran-Assisted Supportive Housing vouchers, which are aimed at helping house the chronically homeless or those individuals who are going to need long-term case management. It is a partnership between the VA and the Office of Housing and Urban Development. They work together to provide the voucher. It is long-term supportive housing, so it is for those individuals who need the intensive case management, but it is a very good resource for those who qualify and are eligible for this. Excuse me. Some of the other areas to take a look at, the continuum of care planning. Veterans are becoming more of a focus for HUD in the programs which they are funding. So take a look at what's being offered locally within your community and how that looks and how that links with some of the housing there. VA grant per diem programs, which are offered locally to community-based organizations, offer a daily payment for services and housing for veterans. It is transitional housing, but they do provide linkages to long-term supportive housing. In some instances, they're just long-term permanent housing. So it's a good start for some individuals who might be looking to get off the street. Some of the other areas that you might look at, affordable housing. If an individual is able to get benefits, they might be eligible or might be able to move into affordable housing or possibly purchase a home or a private dwelling. One of the other things that also is happening in a lot of instances with some of the other veterans is they're returning to their family. If health issues are too great or they're not able to find or live on their own, sometimes veterans are returning to their family to live out their final days, so that is sometimes a possibility as well. But housing is one of the most important things to take into consideration of if your organization is not able to provide it, who can you work with that you can get those referrals to and get veterans into that housing. Next is economic and employment, both maintaining and keeping employment and or benefits. So here we're talking about access to employment, usually found through your local one-stops, the Disabled Veterans Outreach Program, and the local Veterans Employment Representative, the DVOBs and the Leavers, which are funded by the Department of Labor. Their positions are aimed at, and their whole focus is at outreaching and finding employment for veterans within a local community. So if you haven't been or have had limited access with working with them, I encourage you to reach out to them, find out who they are, and see if you can get a connection to them and start working with them. Also of importance, your Chamber of Commerce, your civic and fraternal groups, your veteran service organizations. These three categories typically are able and have veteran representation within them. Veterans are in these groups and are likely the employers, and they can have their own level of veterans preference. So if a veteran-owned business knows that there are veterans looking for employment, the likelihood of them hiring veterans is much higher, as well as those who are familiar with veterans' needs within your community. So that outreach becomes important, as well as who you have around those tables. Keep in mind, when we talk about economic or employment, we could also be talking about benefits. So get in touch with your VA regional benefit offices, your Social Security Administration, and some of the other mainstream programs that provide financial assistance to those who are either homeless or on the verge of homelessness. Because economic, for some individuals who are not able to work, include benefits either from the VA or from the federal government, federal government in the form of Social Security, disability, those types of things. Next is healthcare. When we talk about healthcare, we definitely are referring to VA healthcare clinics and outpatient clinics, depending on where you're located. You may not be close to a VA medical center, but you might be close to a clinic. So exploring what types of services that they have to offer and what their target population they may serve is very important. Take into consideration also the National Association for the Mentally Ill, some community clinics, and the county and municipal hospitals. If you're in an area where the VA does not have a large presence, getting to know and working with these groups will enable you to be able to better serve veterans in your community. You want to make sure that you explore all your options. You don't always have to get medical and health care from the VA. Obviously, that's the preference, but some clients might need more services or feel more secure if they do not access them directly from the VA in that regard. So health care can come from both the VA as well as your general community resources as well. The last slide here in this section is going to talk about prevention. This is the newest thinking in serving veterans. One of the things that is coming on board with as we have returning veterans that are coming back from multiple deployments. And one of the things that, especially if you have been or your organization has been around for some time, to really start thinking about and exploring options when it comes to prevention. In this case, we're talking about low-level interventions that will help prevent homelessness. Some of these include legal assistance, child support, warrants, IDs. This might also include housing assistance if they're going to be evicted, those types of things. Financial counseling. If they have bad credit or poor credit or no credit at all, how can you go and help them either use that credit or build that credit to get back into housing and or back to the to receive the types of services that they need. Family counseling, this is becoming a greater need in a lot of different areas, not only for the veteran and the spouse, but also for the children and extended family of the veteran, knowing how to deal with and working through some of the issues and knowing how to best support that veteran. Also included family support services and housing. These sometimes are difficult when you're dealing with either large families or veterans with dependent children. How they access these services and or housing is key, and who in your community provides these services and how do you get them linked up to veterans in your programs. Benefits, making sure that they do apply for both VA and Social Security's SSDI, whatever may be appropriate for that individual. So prevention is one of the newest things that that a lot of organizations are exploring in regards to how do we prevent someone from becoming homeless in the near future. So make sure that you're looking at that and providing the low-level interventions that can help and prevent homelessness for those individuals. So now that we have talked a little bit about what collaboration is, some steps to getting started, and some of the focus areas, I wanted to provide some community resources that might help you decide who to partner with or who to link up with in your community or who to just to go for more additional information. So you'll see a set of 6 different resources here, and I'm going to go through these, and we're going to talk about them for just a few more minutes. So there's some of the community resources that you want to make sure that you explore are the Continuum of Care, the Consolidated Plans, Vet Centers, the Challenge Survey Results, VA Medical Centers, and Stand Downs. So the first one here is the Continuum of Care. This is the term that is used by Housing and Urban Development to reference the comprehensive and coordinated approach to serving the general homeless population. So while here we're talking about the, if you will, mainstream, we're talking about how you go about coordinating serving the general homeless population, of which veterans make up a large portion and one that HUD is beginning to realize the importance of this. So the key results of the plan are placement into long-term housing and employment and or training opportunities. So this is a community plan that is organized and used within a local area to meet the needs of the general homeless population. The consolidated plan is one document that brings together the goals of the whole entire community planning and development process. And it includes housing as well as general services. So you will see that listed there. There are 4 functions that it does. Basically, it provides, it's a planning document for the whole entire community, and it allows everyone to get involved within the process. It is used in the application for federal funds, specifically for HUD. And it is also the strategy, it lays out the strategy that will be used within the HUD program, specifically housing. And there's an action plan that provides a basic for assessing performance. So the consolidated plan is something that you should be aware of. It lays out the whole entire goals for the community and how you'll be looking at and facing dealing with the population in your community. So those are 2 general mainstream, not veteran-specific. Now we're going to talk about some veteran-specific things. Vet centers. There are 232 community-based vet centers located throughout the country. They provide readjustment and outreach services to those who veterans specifically who have served in a combat zone. The one thing that's key about vet centers is that its services are also available for families and members of the so that would include their spouses and children. It's the one place that VA is able to offer services. Most of the time it's going to be through counseling and those types of things, but it is a great place to make connections. Vet centers are often run by combat veterans themselves, so there is a connection that vet on vet connection that is and does serve a great purpose for those who are coming directly back. So encourage you to look at vet centers, how to bring them into the fold, and what and how you can collaborate with them is key. The VA challenge, once again, is specific. The challenge is the Community Homeless Assessment, Local Education, and Networking Groups. They do a yearly survey on the number and needs of homeless veterans within a community. It will provide geographical statistics on the number of veterans in your area, and it will show the greatest needs of the veterans within your community. So it is a voluntary study. So if survey. So if your organization is not participating, I encourage you to reach out and participate. Usually they do the survey in the beginning of the year, so in January, February timeframe. Just call your local VA Medical Center, ask to speak with the Homeless Veteran Service Coordinator or the Challenge Coordinator. They also list the points of contact in the last year's report, which we do have on our website. Find out when their meetings are and get involved. That will give you access and links to other community service providers who are working with specific veterans issues, and it will be a good way for you to partner and reach out with them. VA medical centers connect with the Homeless Veteran Service Coordinators. These individuals are located at each one of the medical centers. They offer referrals and assistance to those in need. We'll also link them with health care and benefits within their community. So at the VA medical center, in addition to some of the health care issues, they may also be able to access case management or link up with other vital services through the Homeless Veteran Service Coordinator. One other area that a lot of times is a great resource or a great way to find other community service providers in your area are stand-downs. These events are usually done once a year, programs that offer a variety of services to homeless veterans and their families in one particular location. This often can be a portal, entry portal for veterans to access and receive services and enter a program. And it is also a good way to help coordinate with other mainstream and veteran-specific resources in your area. Since you are bringing all of the resources from haircuts to jobs to showers and food to one specific location, you are going to be able to coordinate and help become aware of what each organization has to bring to the table. One of the other great things about a stand-down is that it can increase community support and awareness within your area to help them realize that, yes, we do have an issue with homeless veterans and this is how we can help, and these are some of the successful things that go on. There is more information about stand-downs on the NCHB website. We have a list of all of the stand-downs that are currently scheduled for 2010, and we have started to list them for 2011. So if you want more contact information or want to see if there's one being hosted in your local area, you can go on our website, which is www.nchv.org. On the left-hand side, you'll see a stand-down link, and there's quite a bit of information there on the particular stand-downs that are there, as well as some information on how to start one in your community if you are interested in doing that. That is the conclusion of my general presentation. My contact information is on the last slide there. You can give me a call or shoot me an email. I'd be glad to answer any questions that you may have. If you take a look at these and you want to follow up with some additional things, that's fine. I will also open it up to questions for those of you who may have them and or suggestions on what has worked well within your community collaborative-wise, or if you have any creative approaches to what has worked or groups that you have worked with. It would be great if anybody would like to share those. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and open it up to questions and comments. Just be mindful that there are a large number of you on the call, so start with one question, and then if there is time, we can come back and ask additional questions.
And ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you would like to ask a question or make a comment, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad.
As we're waiting here, I will say that the presentation and the audio from this call will be posted on our website. So if you or anyone that you know may have missed it and they would like to listen in, they may do that. We'll have those listed in the next couple of days, and you'll be able to follow up with any additional information there as well.
And your first question comes from Barbara Gadsden.
Oh, yes, I have a question. I noticed that there is a linkage between the Department of Labor Reintegration Program and the homeless veterans, but there's really not a lot of explanation of how that unison or that coalition is supposed to work. And I guess what I'm saying is that trying to get veterans jobs, they could go to the Job Corps, 18 to 24, and have a linkage with housing. And I'm just wondering, do you know anything about that program?
Specifically Job Corps?
Yes.
I have some basic knowledge of that, but I'm more than happy to pass on. If you shoot me an email or give me a call and let me know, I can give you the contact information either for your local area or to where you can get some more information on that.
Okay.
There is a this call specifically was just giving some general information about the different programs that are offered. The Department of Labor does offer funding through their Homeless Veterans Reintegration Program that is specifically targeted for veterans, and it's helping them to remove the barriers to employment. So that might be also something, depending on, I don't know what your program focus is, but that's also funding that would be available for programs that are looking to serve veterans in the employment area.
Okay, thank you.
We will have more specific calls on that particular program in the near future. This one just talked about some general resources which are in your community.
Your next question comes from Dottie Russell.
Hello, I'm in Southern Humboldt, and we have a very large community of businesses that are opposed to homeless people. The police and sheriff have gone on record as saying that we don't have any services down here, and the closest place to get any services is 60 miles away. Is there something that you might be able to do or put us in touch with so that we can change that perspective from our businesses and work with these people and support them rather than being very disrespectful?
Do you currently provide services within that closer than the 60 miles, or no, not at this time?
There's some. We have an outstation for public health. We have a family resource center. We have telemedicine. We don't have too much, but we do have a large homeless population. We have free meals.
Okay. On our website, I don't know if you've been on there at all, but we have quite a bit of resources, both funding and case studies, examples of programs that are up and running that are providing services, so that might be a good link for you as well. And I'd be glad to talk with you offline if you want to either shoot me an email or give me a call, and if we can work through that. But I would suggest taking a look at our website first, as there will be a lot of different resources there that you could look through and see, as well as just either some educational information or just some things that you could share with your community leaders.
Great. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Kathy Santos.
Yes. Good morning. My name is Kathy Santos. I'm the founder of the National Alliance of Women Veterans out of Philadelphia. We've done a lot of work in terms of advocacy, networking, and just creating platforms for bringing a lot of women veterans who are homeless together over the years. My question is about the funding and the different programs. We seem to not be in the competitive runnings when the funding is appropriated in our state. So I would like to know, how can we possibly get some leverage there? We've been doing this work kind of out of pocket and begging around for many 18 years or more. And recently there's been several $1 million in funding that has come through our state, however, we've been kind of overlooked. Is there any suggestions how we can get some funding for the work that we've been doing and continue to do in Philadelphia?
Okay. Well, I'll be real honest with you. The funding that comes down that's specifically targeted for homeless veterans and obviously homeless female veterans are federal dollars that are allocated at the national level. So it's a national competition that is done. There are two different programs, the VA Grant Per Diem Program, which is housed out of Florida, but it's a national competition, and the Department of Labor Homeless Veterans Reintegration Program. Now, those are national competitions, meaning you're competing against everyone in the country, not just your local area. Specifically, for if you're talking about how money is funneled down to your local community, that's probably how you're talking about your community block development grants or your HUD dollars.
Okay.
Those would be things that you would have to start being involved with your continuum of care, and that's why we suggest that you go and start meeting with them, as well as getting involved with your consolidated plans. Those are allocated locally, and the only way that you're going to get dollars if you're eligible is by being a part of those groups. So it does take some time to get established and working with them. So At this point, my suggestion would be to find out when your continuum of care meetings are. Those are done through HUD. Start going there and learning more about the process and learning what it takes to be included into their plans. But that's the only way in regards to those dollars that you're going to be able to get those funds there.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Hector Villarreal.
Good morning. I'm with the San Antonio Coalition for Veterans. I was not able to open up your presentation on the computer, but under the subject of prevention, do you have any recommendations or suggestions with regards to really reaching out to the community churches? We find a lot of veterans that attend there, and some of those veterans that attend are on the verge of becoming homeless because they've lost their job or et cetera, et cetera. And next month they may be on the streets.
Sure. That's a great example of an area that I didn't really talk about, but one that is important depending on your locality. What I may suggest is if you have either members of the congregation who know about your community or know about the work that you're doing, because either they're volunteers, they work on your board, or they're employees, whatever it may be, outreach is key. With prevention, a lot of times it's that they don't know where to go for assistance. So my first suggestion would be to make sure that if you have informational brochures or if you put something in the bulletin, or making sure that individuals in that congregation are aware that if they need assistance, where they can go for help. And then secondary to that would be to help with the congregation to either help, volunteer time, bring in donations, whatever it may be. But I would really start with someone who's familiar with the church or place of worship themselves. If not, go in and start establishing those linkages up. But most likely you're going to have somebody that's already connected with your group that's familiar and be able to make that tie in there.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Your next question comes from Walter Poole.
This is Walter Poole. I'm in Alabama. We created a 501c3 with one mission. There are service providers for temporary housing and obviously the VA for medical. Our only mission is to go get contracts and employ the veterans directly. It's taken us a year and a half to get to the point where we are at now. We're registered with CCR, state purchasing, and so forth. However, now we know where there's business at to obtain, to hire the veterans directly under our umbrella and put them to work. We believe work is the solution. However, once again, as some of the other callers said, we cannot find funding because you need 60 to 90 days payroll until contracts kick in. You know, you work at 30, then you invoice, and so 60 to 90 days before you start receiving payment. It's that period of time we need payment for. I mean, we need funding for, because we can, with our business plan, we could be self-supporting within 6 to 7 months. But that initial startup money for payroll, we're having equipment donated. But once again, where would you suggest we go to try to find funding?
Okay, on our website, we list funding sources that are available for those types of things, as well as other things, services and dollars for those. To be real honest with you, funding is very difficult to find these days. You might look at the Department of Labor Homeless Veterans Reintegration Program dollars. However, your best luck is probably going to be the foundation and private dollars that we have, and we do post on our website. Those are updated on a daily basis as soon as they come across our desk. You can also sign up for our e-newsletter on our homepage. We send out funding opportunities once a month, and then also we post them on our website. So those change. You just kind of have to be up to date. Find out within your local community, is there a foundation that does fund those types of things? find out if there's a veteran-owned business that might be willing to either make a donation or float your organization a loan for that time being to get started. But really exploring who in your community is the linkages is sometimes where to go. But we do post those on our website, and those are updated pretty much on a daily basis.
All right, thank you.
Your next question comes from Gary Sheehan.
Hey, Melanie. This is Gary Sheehan from the Burton Blatt Institute Homeless Vets Reintegration Project TA Center. Good job on the collaboration building. We're just coming online now for the Homeless Vets Reintegration Programs, but I wanted to mention a couple of resources to the community that's out there now, and that's the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration operates what they call the Projects for Assistance in Transition from Homelessness. They're called PATH programs, and oftentimes these might be operating in your communities right now that could be providing homeless services, assistance to individuals who are also veterans, and folks can go to PATH program, that's all one word, .samhsa, which is SAMHSA.gov, to get more information on that. And then one other piece, there's a wonderful resource on collaboration building. It's called the Collaboration Handbook. It's available through Amazon.com, and it's not very expensive at all. But it provides practical tips and tools for developing collaboration, and it's written by Michael Weiner. That's W-I-N-E-R. And I suggest that that's a good resource for folks to begin to actualize some of the techniques and principles that Melanie referenced in her call.
Great. Thanks, Gary.
Your next question comes from Danielle Cover.
Hi, this is Danielle Cover. I'm the Director of Pro Bono Programs at the Homeless Persons Representation Project. And you mentioned getting involved in the challenge surveys, and I'm just curious how one goes about doing that, getting involved in participating in the survey.
Sure. You can do there. They do have in the most recent version of the challenge report, which I'll have put a link up on our website underneath this conference call, but you can find it there. They have points of contacts listed in the back there for each region, and that's the best thing. If for some reason you can't find that, you can also just call your VA Medical Center. Ask to speak with either the challenge coordinator or the homeless veteran service coordinator, and just say, when are your meetings, when do you guys meet, and that's the best way to kind of get involved with them that way.
Okay, so the homeless coordinator is somebody that I can contact?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
yes directly.
Uh-huh. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
you. If you have any issues, you can give me a call. And we don't have direct numbers to majority of them because they change positions so often, but we usually can give you a point of contact that can track them down for you depending on where you're located.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Your next question comes from Hector Villarreal.
Yes, just one more question. United Way does a pretty effective job of bringing, funding to, different throughout the country. Does your organization have something similar that would be a kind of United Way for the homeless, and so that funds could go to y'all as a central location? We're finding here in San Antonio that a person that misses out on his rent or his mortgage payment, and it may be $900 to maybe $1,500, and the next month he becomes homeless, and then all kinds of social services have to kick in. And the end result is it looks like we spend a lot more money to serve the person that's homeless if we could have prevented that by maybe making that $900 payment to help them. Do you have a centralized pot, if you will, or to consider a development or something like the United Way that we could reach out to you for these kinds of emergencies and maybe keep people from becoming homeless?
Unfortunately, currently, no. Our organization does not provide funding to local communities, but depending on where you are, the prevention, just as you said, if we can assist with some of the rapid rehousing dollars are being used to do that, just exactly what you're talking about. as well as some of the organizations are able to use some of their funding now, specifically through HUD and some SAMHSA on some occasions, dollars there. So there are some local community resources that are aimed at preventing homelessness that you can access. Currently, we don't have anything in place, but that is something that we are looking at in regards to when we talk about prevention is how do we get someone before they actually become homeless in order to do that. So that is kind of the next thing that's being explored and really thought through at the federal level of how that works through.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Your next question comes from Barbara Gadsden.
My question is, I know we are in a downturn economy, but are there any funding for housing, construction? For example, we wanted to build a homeless shelter for veterans, but we were wondering if there were any funding available through any government agency.
The funding source that you'd be looking at would be the VA grant and per diem program, which provides housing and services for homeless veterans. Underneath their capital grant, you can get 65% of your project dollars. The VA will provide you 65% to construct, rehab, or renovate a building that will eventually be used to provide services and housing for veterans. You do have to have a 35% match for that, but that is the only federal program that is veteran-specific for construction of housing.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Richard Gilbert.
Yes, Melody. I've been listening to the show. I'm a real estate broker and real estate investor in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing, listening to a couple of your callers, I found that the biggest problem is I have a tremendous amount of vacancies on rental properties that I have, and I'm constantly having the same problem getting veterans or getting homeless families finally into those properties. Sometimes they'll last 2 or 3 or 4 months paid for in motels, like the other young lady said. I even have properties that I want to sell, but to find the source that I would be able to do that with is very, very difficult. Reaching out to those organizations, I'm 10 minutes from Fort Dix and McGuire Air Force Base in New Jersey, and I got hooked on the veterans idea. I am a veteran, but I heard a broadcast from New Directions, the Homeless Veterans Choir, got me started, but getting to the right location is not easy. I'll look forward to speaking to you in the future about it, but thank you for taking my call.
Sure. One suggestion for those of you who are looking to link with providers in your area, it really just comes down to finding the right veteran for the housing. Most programs do and establish some sort of savings program for them so that when they do eventually move into the long-term housing, it's not just for 2 or 3 months, it is for a long term. So what I might suggest that you do on our website, we do have a list of service providers there. You would just have to contact them directly and see if they'd be interested, or letting them know, hey, I have some housing. Would you be interested in it for your veterans, or do you have anybody that would be appropriate? So on our website, on the left-hand side, underneath Homeless Veterans Service Providers, it's about halfway down on the blue there. You can click on Locate a Community-Based Organization, search by state, and that will give you a listing. You'll just have to contact them, see what they offer, and if they'd be interested in making referrals to the veterans. But that's a great place to make the first connection and find out who's working with them in your area.
And at this time, I'm showing no further questions.
Okay. Well, I do want to thank everybody for their time. I know it is the day before Veterans Day, and everybody is either headed out or going to be celebrating soon. So I do wish that everyone has a great day. For those of you who served, thank you very much. And for those of you who continue to serve veterans, we appreciate all that you do. If you have any additional questions after you think about it or something comes up, feel free to give me a call or an email. I'd be glad to answer any questions or at least make a referral to someone if I don't know the answer. But I thank everyone for their time. Wish you best of luck and have a great Veterans Day.
And ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the Building Meaningful Collaboration with Your Community conference call. We appreciate your time. You may now disconnect.